The four horsemen of the apocalypse are some of the most terrifying symbols in the entire Bible. Learn how Matthew 24 explains this sobering symbolism. Discover the exciting outcome of the worst suffering in human history. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. The Mount of Olives is the most important prophecy that Jesus Christ prophesied when he was on this earth. If you look at Matthew 24, you'll probably find the best version of this. It's also proclaimed in Mark 13 and also in Luke 21. If you look at Matthew chapter 24, you'll see that Christ there interprets the seven seals of Revelation, beginning in Revelation 6. The first four of those seals are also called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Now, we use the four horsemen to introduce our television program. But I want to tell you that we have a new booklet on the Matthew 24 prophecy that we'd like to send you. And it will really make this picture very clear to you and add a lot of details that I don't have time to get into today. So I hope you'll request that new booklet, because what I'm talking about today is in the news. And these prophecies are being fulfilled right now, even as I speak. North Korea is on the front pages of most of the news in the U.S. And you will find that after the four horsemen of the apocalypse, you come to the fifth seal, which is the Great Tribulation. And I want to read you an article that ties in directly with that prophecy and that seal. This is by Charles Krauthammer, April the 20th. It's about the crisis with North Korea. It may appear trumped up, he said, but it's not. In other words, you may think that this is not anything other than maybe fake news, but it isn't fake news. This is reality. This is what's happening in our world. Notice what Mr. Krauthammer says. Given that Pyongyang has had nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles for more than a decade, why the panic now? Because North Korea is headed for a nuclear breakout. North Korea is headed for a nuclear breakout. The regime has openly declared that it is racing to develop an intercontinental ballistic missile that can reach the United States and thus destroy an American city at a Kim Jong-un push of a button. He pushes the button, millions of people die, and he's talking about reaching the cities of America. Certainly, first and foremost would be Los Angeles and Seattle and San Francisco and Phoenix, Arizona, but he could very easily and quickly have the capacity to reach all of our major cities. Notice what this article says. At the same time, Pyongyang has been steadily adding to its supply of nuclear weapons. Today, it has an estimated 10 to 16. By 2020, it could very well have 100. By 2020, that's not far away. And think about all of those bombs, perhaps even 16 today. And they could destroy 16 American cities. And he goes on to say, hence the crisis. We simply cannot concede to Kim Jong-un the capacity to annihilate American cities. See, this is reality. This is our world today. And notice how it gets much worse when you consider this. The article continues. Well, he talked about we came pretty close to a nuclear war in October 1962. But then he goes on to say, in second, because North Korea's regime is bizarre in the extreme, a hermit kingdom run by a weird, utterly ruthless, and highly erratic God King. You can't count on Caligula. The regime is savage and cult-like, its people robotic. Now, if that isn't a problem that disturbs you, well, I think it should. It should disturb all of us, because this is the real world, and this man hates America and is threatening us with a war. And he's a madman with nuclear weapons. So let me tell you, America fears him a lot more than it does Vladimir Putin because of his madness. How relevant is Matthew 24 in verses 21 and 22, where Christ is interpreting the seven seals of Revelation? This is the fifth one. Verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Now that's bad news, and it's also good news. But look at this world. Korea is only one of many nuclear powers, and they share their nuclear arsenal with Iran, which is the number one terrorist sponsoring nation in the world, led by, some very unstable leaders. What is this time that we're entering into called the times of the Gentiles in the Bible? Daniel called this the crisis of crises. This is the crisis of man's history on this earth. The crisis. Now, if you go and look at this fifth seal, that great tribulation, Jesus Christ, who was the greatest newscaster ever on this earth, I mean, after all, only God could forecast 2,000 years ago the nuclear condition of this world today and also other weapons of mass destruction. And he repeatedly talked about prophecies that clearly include nuclear bombs. And the great irony of this that just astounds my mind is Christianity and televangelists and people like that almost never talk about these prophecies, and everything revolves around what we're talking about in Matthew 24 and those seven seals. Everything revolves around that, and yet you hear almost nothing about it from the Christian world. Why is that? This is the most crucial prophecy Christ ever proclaimed when he was on this earth. And I'm telling you, this is the worst crisis we've ever faced in the history of man. So, if you look at this closely, you know, and if we're honest with ourselves, we know that men cannot solve this problem. Only God can solve it, and he's letting it go on until we learn some lessons from it. And this is really learning your lessons the hard way. But it goes on to say that if he didn't intervene, which he's going to do, there would be no flesh saved alive, it says in the Moffat translation. No flesh saved alive. None at all. Now, what Christ wants from this world is repentance. He wants repentance from you. He wants repentance from me. And if he doesn't get it from, let's say, a nation or nations, well, he wants it from you individually. And he will protect you from all of these crises, he promises, if you change your life and help him get this message out to the world. That will be his reward to you, that you will be protected and that you will become actually a part of the bride of Jesus Christ for all eternity. The greatest reward that he offers anybody at any time. But the good news here is he's also giving us a little insight here in Matthew 24 verses 21 and 22, where he talks about the conclusion to the seventh seal, which is the return of Jesus Christ to this earth to stop all of this madness that would destroy all human flesh if Christ didn't return. All human life would be destroyed. So if you're going to have radical problems like this, you're going to have some radical changes to do something about it. But what is the first horseman? You might be shocked at what it is and why Christ labels it as the worst and is the number one problem in this world today. It's the number one problem, and it has been for 2,000 years, but it's many times over worse today, many-fold worse than what it was, let's say, a couple of thousand years ago. It's the worst crisis of all the seven seals. Let's take a look at what it says in Matthew 24 and verse 3. We'll go back and get a little bit of the context here. Matthew 24 and verse 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of this age?" It should read, man's age of ruling over man. But then notice, here's that number one problem, or the number one seal that's caused more problems than anything else. Notice what it is. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or I, Christ, am Christ, and shall deceive many." Well, what else is wrong? Well, they're saying and admitting that Christ is Christ, but they deceive many. Why is that? Because they talk about Jesus Christ, but they're not delivering His message. They're not delivering His message in Matthew 24, for example. It's the message of Christ that makes us true Christians. We have to, as Christ said in Matthew 4 and verse 4, live by every word of God. That's the message of God. So Christ is actually addressing His own disciples here, though, because some of them were deceived, and many are deceived in this end time. Christ's own disciples, not just, let's say, those that are deceived in this world, but His own disciples who were not deceived, then turned away and became deceived, if you can imagine that. And they had God's Holy Spirit, and they had that precious truth of God, the understanding God gave them, and then they turned and turned away and rejected the truth of God. Notice verse 9, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you." You, that's talking directly to the true Christians. "And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." So Christ is still addressing His own disciples, but that Matthew 24 and verse 3, where it's talking about what happened in 70 AD, is just a type of what is going to be fulfilled in this end time. Verse 10, "Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many." Now, this is a warning from Christ Himself. He says many false prophets are going to rise in this end time, and they're going to deceive many people, millions of people. Verse 12, "And because iniquity or lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." That love that he's talking about is agape love, His own love. And he says, because they get away from that, it's a law of love that he's talking about. And you have you looked around you in this world, in the U.S. and the U.K. and many other places, and have you noticed how much lawlessness there is? It's just everywhere you look. It's surrounding us. And it talks about many are going to be deceived and turn away. That means the majority of God's own people, 95% of them, are going to turn away. Revelation 3, verses 14 through 20, talk about the church becoming lukewarm. Herbert Armstrong talked about the moral decay in this nation, and Britain especially. And he says it is a worse problem. He said this in 1981. It's a worse problem than the nuclear bomb. Because it's immorality and spiritual problems that cause nations to fall. They fall from within before they're conquered from without in almost all cases. This is what Christ is talking about here, and he talks about it in this very chapter, and I'll show you as we go along. You hear about the raping of 80-year-old women, and you hear about people, instead of getting married, like in Britain, for example, they have more young people living together than they are marrying. And an upside-down family, and young people that are not thinking about obeying God very much at all. And it used to be different. Notice what one of our founders, John Adams, said, quote, "Children learn the meaning of morality, religion, and respect for law from the habitual fidelity of their parents to one another." And of course, he was talking about marriage. And we see so much scorn and hatred for our founding fathers, and yet listen to that. Let me tell you, that is a biblical statement to the core. And we should understand that. And if you don't have that family relationship, then Isaiah 3 and verse 12 says it's upside down and all kinds of problems develop and the children actually rule over the whole family. Well, that's what you see in much of our young people today. Isn't that true? If we look at the colleges, and they will hardly even allow anybody to speak there if they don't agree with them. And that's a very serious problem in a democratic society. It literally will tear it apart in time, and that won't take a lot of time. Verse 15, it says, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso reads, let him understand, and let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains." And so it's a time to flee. The armies are surrounding Jerusalem. That's what that abomination of desolation is. Luke's version in Luke 21 and verse 20 tells you that. And it's not the Arab armies, it's a European army of all things. A European army with ten kings and 10 nations or groups of nations, talked about in Revelation 13 and Revelation 17, that being surrounded by armies is a signal of world cataclysm. Have you noticed all the problems surrounding Jerusalem? Well, Europe is only waiting for a strong leader. They already have the superpower Germany there, and economically anyhow, and of course, they can have the other very rapidly if they want it, and they will. There's going to be a strong man come on the scene, it says in Daniel 8 and verse 23, and he's going to start World War III, and all of this is happening in Europe right now, and they're sort of under the radar, but not for long. Not for long. It's getting very, very bad. Matthew 24 talks about two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left. These are two women or two churches of God. One is Laodicean, the other one is Philadelphian. And God takes one of them to a place of safety and he doesn't take the other. He protects one, he doesn't protect the other because they rejected the very words of God. And they're going to have to face this nuclear cataclysm. Notice what God tells us to do. "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered the house to be broken up. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season?" God wants to give us meat in due season. He'll show us the way to live the right way and receive that protection physically and spiritually? Well, there's a major exodus from the dollar, let's say, because of its weakness. What kind of a problem is that going to present to us? The Japanese representative said, we might sell our U.S. Treasury bonds a few years ago, he said that, and the market dropped 200 points in a day just from hearing those words. People are nervous about that. Well, what if they decide to withdraw their money that we borrowed from them? But notice what God says. Notice the good news. I mean really good news. Verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Doing what? Doing the work of God, helping to get this message to the world before all these things come to pass. Help to be a warning to this world of this madness that's going on. How can we not be disturbed when we see all of these nuclear bombs given to men who are at best, or unstable in an extreme way? How can we not at least look at God's view and not try to work it out ourselves? We've already lost that game long ago. And we don't yet know that. But notice, he's going to make us ruler over all his goods, over all the universe. We have that in our introduction as well. The universe is going to be put into subjectivity to man. Under God, of course. And it says in Hebrews 2, one version says, I will give you control over the whole universe. But notice the problem here. You see, some people turn away from that. God's going to give us everything, the earth and the universe. And the highest reward, if you serve Him today before that second coming, the highest reward He offers anybody ever for all time, for eternity, to be the bride of Jesus Christ forever and sit on David's throne with Him. It's really God's throne, and rule the universe as well as the earth. Verse 49. Well, first of all, in verse 48, it says, my Lord delays His coming. And in verse 49, and shall begin to smite His fellow servants or get carnal and do what everybody else does and eat and drink with a drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, weeping and gnashing of teeth. The suffering is going to be horrendous. And we want to avoid that if we can at all, and we can if we choose to do so. But God wants to make us rulers over the earth and the universe forever. That's what the reward is here, if we'll come out and serve Him now. Listen to just a few of the prophecies about this. Jeremiah 4 and verse 7, the city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. Is that pretty bad? Does that tell you that nuclear war is coming? Revelation 9 and verse 17 says the third part of men are going to be killed in one sweeping part of this warfare. And then Joel 2 talks about in verse 2 through 6, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. A fire devours before them. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. There's never been a time like it, it says. But I'll just paraphrase another verse here in Revelation 11 and verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. He's going to reign forever and ever, and He's offering to give you an opportunity to reign with Him on that throne forever and ever and ever. He's going to make us ruler over all His goods, the whole universe. Thank God for that. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
The four horsemen of the apocalypse are some of the most terrifying symbols in the entire Bible. Learn how Matthew 24 explains this sobering symbolism. Discover the exciting outcome of the worst suffering in human history. We should already hear and intently fear the galloping hoofbeats of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They are racing toward us at this very moment. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, to learn why God's own people will be devastated more than anyone else by these mega plagues. Understand how a prophecy Christ made thousands of years ago explains the four horsemen in vivid detail. You will also receive a free copy of our new booklet about the Matthew 24 prophecy. Jesus Christ came to earth 2,000 years ago to preach the good news of the coming kingdom of God. But he also warned of a white horse, a red horse, a black horse, and a pale horse that symbolize global destruction and desolation to occur just before he returns to save us from ourselves. Learn how to discern these four horses and their horsemen. They are already at work. Understand why mankind must suffer before world conditions will ever improve. Discover the brilliant, wonderful, awesome, inspiring ending to the sad story of human affairs. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse and our new booklet about the Matthew 24 prophecy. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. If you would prefer to write, send your request to The Key of David, P.O. Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629.